Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome back to another episode of Behind the Bets with Doug Kazarian, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Thanks to everyone downloading yesterday's pod. Really interesting talk with Brad Edwards, breaking down the SEC and some of the ACC games. And also with Matthew and Lou for the UFC card coming up this weekend in Fight Island. This pod will have Mr. Executive Director John Murray. We'll do the usual, break down the card, recap a little bit of last week. And I did ask him about Saban's absence because that has since happened since yesterday's taping of the podcast. And then we'll wrap things up with Baby Bankroll Bonanza. And before we get into today's episode, I want to remind everyone to go check out another ESPN podcast that will help you with your fantasy football teams. Make sure you're staying up to date on all your fantasy football news with ESPN fantasy experts Matthew Berry, Field Yates, Stefania Bell, Mike Clay, and Daniel Dopp on the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. You'll get daily strategy, previews, and injury reports to ensure you have all the information you'll need for your fantasy football team. Be sure to download and subscribe to Fantasy Focus Football and Behind the Bets on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He started as a ticket writer.
Well, the handle has gotten a lot higher here in the last hour.
Now he's a race and sportsbook director.
I have the guys at work here calling me Mr. Director and not looking directly into my eyes.
With people.
Brought in a whole new staff this year. It's kind of a Seinfeld-esque move where we just rotate the guys so the material doesn't get stale, Doug.
What happened in between? A hot tub and ESPN.
Kicking is for losers.
Kicking is definitely for losers. We continue to see examples of that as we welcome back Mr. Executive Director. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I guess the one example where kicking worked out if they didn't kick was the Vikings, right? I mean, they went for it on fourth down as they should have done. And then Seattle scores a touchdown back the other way, wins the game. And I see people saying, oh, they should have kicked the field goal. You never should have kicked the field goal. The Vikings did the right thing.
It would have been defensible, for sure, because it would have gone up 8. And
I know, but you only had to get like a half a yard. And if you don't get it, you're still forcing right. Seattle to go the length of the field. Seattle had to convert 2 fourth downs, including the fourth down play, the fourth and goal, yeah. I should say, that won the game. So I thought Minnesota absolutely did the right thing there. Hurt us, though. That would have been huge for the book. That would have been a big win for us if Minnesota could have won that game.
Yeah, to your point, we can't use the results to grade the decision. I thought the decision at the time was totally fine. So that's what I was going to ask you. A lot of teasers hit and things like that. How did that work for you guys?
It was a weird Sunday because we won so much on the Raiders, your Raiders, beating Kansas City. That was one of our biggest wins of the year in the NFL. We won a lot of the Atlanta game. Everybody bet Atlanta. We couldn't write about on Carolina. Really? We finally just threw up our hands on Sunday morning and just said, forget it. Let's just hope Carolina wins. And they did. So we won a lot on that game. We really lost more games than we won. You know, everybody was on the Rams. Everybody was on the Cardinals. Everybody was on the Steelers. Everybody was on the Browns. They were really popular. Started as a dog, closed a favorite. They were a very popular side. Everybody was on Baltimore. We really lost more games than we won. But because we won so much on the Raiders – and so much on the Panthers. We were up a huge number going into the night games, and then we lost everything back plus some when we posted the Lakers to win the NBA championship.
So that ended up hurting,
An interesting day. It was kind of a good thing. You know, we were talking on Monday morning here. It was kind of good that ended on a Sunday for us because when the bean counters look over our numbers – they just look at it like, oh, they just lost a small amount of money on a very high handle NFL Sunday. No big deal. Whereas if we posted that on a Tuesday or a Thursday, it would have been like, what the hell happened last night in the sports book?
Right. Okay. So that game 5, that win that you thought you just wanted to get it over with, actually proved to be a blessing.
Well, the only thing about that was we did a lot better on the Lakers in 5 than we did on the Lakers in 6 in that exact series result pool. So, but yeah, in the end, we buried it on an NFL Sunday. We won a lot of money on football that day, so no one batted an eye, and it's over. And I'm happy for you. Another Lakers championship, so congratulations.
Thank you. I will say Sunday was a very good day. Really, the weekend was pretty surreal when you think about all the stuff that went my way. So you had the Lakers winning the title on top of the big LeBron position I had games one and two before I doubled. I kind of pressed more after the injuries after game one. And then the Raiders get the upset. So I'm riding high as a fan. And my pick'em leagues, I just dominate. I win my pick'em leagues at like 11-2 ATS. Another league that I go 5-0 ATS, I get a bonus because you had to pick five games. I hit them all. In the ESPN.com chalk section where we have to do picks, I went 5-0 in college, 2-0 in NFL. Both survivor pools advance. My fantasy with that garbage touchdown at the end with the Steelers, I shouldn't say garbage, but it was, you know, you think they're playing for the first down only. They get the touchdown because of the Big Ben TD. I win my fantasy league in a huge pool. I mean, Kelly, your co-host for your pod, is in it too. So I win by like 2 points because of that. And just everything, I hit every like bet. I hit everything across the board. I was just on fire. I won both pick'ems, like I said.
Can I say this? I appreciate that you never tell me about your fantasy league until this moment. Because when I do Kelly and Murray with Kelly in Vegas, she talks about her fantasy league like all the time. And I'm just like, Kelly, I don't care about your fantasy team. I don't care. So I appreciate that you wedged it in to an overall story. I can live with that.
Right. And it was just the dramatic way. Like, it was like, I basically tweeted about a bad beat. And one guy's like, literally no one cares about your fantasy, literally. And I was just like, all right, you can unfollow me, literally. I don't blame people. Like, no one wants to hear. I just thought it was like a funny bad beat story more than it was like, hey, I got these guys are my running backs. Like, that's the nausea. I just thought it was a funny bad beat because I had the Steelers minus 7.5 as well. And I had a teaser position. And all I was hoping for was the first down. Not in my wildest dreams, I think they're going to try to go to the end zone with Claypool. But they did. And so it was a touchdown. So I was just like so taken back. But so a good card. Now, I've given some of it back this week, of course, but I was very experienced better that I was.
Well, tell us about that. What did you give it back on? Like, it's a weird week where you've got Monday Night Football and Tuesday Night Football. And then no Thursday Night Football. Very strange week.
So I really didn't get involved in the Saints game. I had a big bet on Glasnow over 5.5 strikeouts last night. Talked about it on the show. He got five in the last two innings. I mean, his out pitch just wasn't working. The curve, the off, like the Astros were laying off it. So that hurt. I'm trying to think. I didn't get really involved in the either Monday or Tuesday game. I actually forgot about some teasers. I had the Saints on from last week when I bet the Cardinals against the Jets. Because I was just loading up again. Because I thought the line was going to move with the Flacco news, and it never did. But so, yeah, just gave some of that. The Glasnow one was the biggest one I took on the chin this week.
Well, so, yeah, it's fun. It's fun. We also got the LCS games going on. I mean, this is a crazy time of year. And then there's a lot of college. There's a lot of good college football. There's some good fights this week. There's a great boxing fight on your network, on ESPN.
Yeah, we're talking Lomachenko. About it.
That's a great fight. There's a bunch. The UFC main event is a great fight. There's a lot going on. I'm excited about this weekend.
Well, before we get to the NFL card, real quick, the Nick Saban news surfaced. The line moved eventually 2 points. How do you feel about Saban and his impact on the point spread? How do you guys do something like that?
You know, it's just like the market reacts to news like that. My personal, what I would assign to that would be nothing. I don't think that matters at all. Nick Saban's not the play caller for Alabama. I don't, like, honestly, I said that when I was talking with Kelly yesterday. I don't think that should move the number at all, but it's the perception. You saw the market move quickly. People bet on Georgia. They took the points, thinking the line would go down. I wouldn't be surprised if the line just went right back up by Saturday, because I just don't think it matters that much.
Well, I'm surprised. The news happened on the show, like, during that time block, and I said, look, it's down to four. I would bet it because it's not going to go back up. I just felt that strongly. I do think Saban matters, especially with this particular defense, because they're kind of – they're not the strong suit, and he does not have Kirby Smart as his DC anymore. So I actually think it's going to be like they could get exposed. Saban may not make adjustment. Like, Saban's like a wizard. So I'm completely – well, not completely wrong. It's moved to 0.5 points. So it's now 4.5. So I said grab it at 4.5. I thought it would only go down, but I'm wrong. To your point, I didn't think there would be buyback, but there is. So good job by you on that. We'll see. I could be very
– we'll see with the game – see when the game starts, but this is clearly the best college football game of the year to date. without question. And we'll see where the line closes. You know, that's really all that matters. The closing number is the true barometer to go by.
Okay. So let's go to the NFL now. And no Thursday night game. Obviously, the league reacting, and we all are, with the latest twists and turns in the football season and the coronavirus and all that fun stuff. So Sunday slate, Carolina Panthers, I've been on. I really like this team. I'm going to back them and back them again here. Short favorites to Chicago. I think the number should be higher, but I've been wrong many a times.
I'll say this. This looks like a good teaser spot for the Bears. You can go. You can take the Bears up to 7.5, 8 points with a 6-point teaser. 44.5 is now a very low total in the NFL. I know that sounds crazy to people like me and you that have been betting on the NFL for 20 years, maybe more. I'm not going to ask, but 44.5 is like a low. That's like a low number in the NFL now. That's one of the lowest numbers of the week. We really haven't seen a whole lot of money on this game. I think we'll probably end up needing Carolina with the Bears coming off that big win over the Bucks last Thursday night. I think we're going to need the Panthers here. I'd look at maybe Chicago teasers if you wanted to play this game.
Yeah, I like the Carolina -1.5. I don't know. I think I'm just going to keep riding them. They're my team now. I've been backing them the last couple of weeks. I like them. I think, by the way, Bridgewater, I mean, it's just getting insane now. 30-9 ATS in his career. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely ridiculous. And it's interesting to me to see how Carolina has fared without Christian McCaffrey. You know, I think they're 3-0 without McCaffrey. I think that coaching staff has them way ahead of schedule. And I was really impressed with the drive that they had to ice the game against Atlanta. They used up a ton of clock. They kicked a field goal to go up by 10 to put the game out of reach. It was a very impressive drive by Bridgewater and the Panthers that iced that game last Sunday.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think they're just – it's basically about being predictable. It's not like McCaffrey is not an improvement at running back, but it's about maybe just diversifying your offensive play calling when you don't have a guy like McCaffrey. So maybe best of both worlds, when they bring him back, they'll sort of keep the same distribution and usage, and then they'll be really tough to beat. That's my hope for a Carolina team. And by the way, in case you're wondering, 769 is the best cover percentage for any quarterback in the Super Bowl era, minimum 15 starts.
That's pretty impressive. And he was on the free agency heap, right? I mean, they just signed him as a free agent. So good for Teddy Bridgewater and good for the Panthers.
Yeah, and he was awesome last year when he filled in for Breeze. So I don't know what more people want, but no one keeps the back. All right, so the next game, probably not a huge handle game, but, I mean, Detroit is interesting. They're pretty good. We've discussed this. Their record's misleading, but obviously the opener against the Bears, and they're laying 3 at Jacksonville, which is not a good team.
Well, they should have beat the Bears. I think we can all agree on that. They had every opportunity against the Saints a couple weeks ago. There's really not – you already said it. There's not much action on this game. There's not – it would be – I would really need to dig deep into my vast media skills to find something interesting to talk about on this game. There's no money on it. It's going to be one of those games that will be an afterthought on Sunday morning. It's kind of game they should have moved to Thursday, man. Like, if this game was tonight, we'd have tons of money on this game. We would need the Jaguars huge with the Lions being a cheap road favorite.
Yeah, all sorts of props, like who's DJ Shark scoring the first touchdown, 8-1, you know, all that good stuff. Okay, another game.
Yeah, oh, I know.
Finally, Dan Quinn relieved of his duties. The national nightmare is over. No, I mean, seems like a really likable guy. Just the hot seat of Dan Quinn was just getting to be a very, very tired storyline. So Vikings off an impressive performance Sunday night, host the Falcons, and it's now 4. It's up to 4 now for the Vikes.
Yeah, Minnesota, we got them -4. This is actually a game we have seen a lot of money on. Everyone's betting Minnesota, which is kind of funny because they bet Atlanta all the way to the bitter end. And now when Atlanta finally fires Dan Quinn, the guy that we all said they should have fired a year ago, maybe more, now everybody's off the bandwagon and they're all betting the Vikings. So I don't know, maybe keep an eye on the Falcons here. If this number continues to rise, I think Atlanta is going to be one of our bigger needs in the morning this Sunday.
Well, I think it comes down to the Vikings finally turned things around after struggling out of the gates against the Packers. Now they're like, okay, this is sort of the team we remember. Yes, lost a close one at Seattle, but, you know, they have weapons in Cook and Thielen, and Kirk Cousins can throw a good ball at times. You know, like, like the defenses are, like, this is the kind of the team we expected. Atlanta's terrible defensively right now. And also their offense, this Matt Ryan thing, like, remember, he's not been the same quarterback since losing Shanahan as his OC. I think they're
definitely not.
I think they're terrible. I think the offense is so overrated. Matt Ryan is, you know, just not the guy we kind of think he is.
Keep an eye on Julio Jones, listed as questionable. I believe that's a hamstring for Julio. Dalvin Cook out for the Minnesota Vikings.
Ooh.
The Vikings just seem to throw all kinds of running backs into the mix, and they seem like they're fine. So I wouldn't – that doesn't impact the point spread.
I believe Madison is the backup, and he's been effective. And a lot of running backs.
Madison looks just as good to me. That kid's very good. Very good.
So – you talked about a coach firing. Romeo Crennel gets the win last week against the Jags. So he's now going on the road to the Titans. And I imagine there'll be quite a distinct ticket count here with Tennessee.
Well, I think this game is really interesting because Houston started 0-4. They fired their coach. They're going on the road against a team that's undefeated, that's coming off of a relatively high-profile win on primetime Tuesday. And they're only getting 3 points. Houston's only +3 even money here. There's a lot of 3.5s on the market right now, or several 3.5s, I should say. But Houston is a team that gets a lot of respect in the power ratings. We saw that a few weeks ago when they were at Pittsburgh, and the sharp guys all bet on Houston, and that number crashed from 6 to 3.5. I know Pittsburgh covered, but I look more at the closing number as the barometer than the result of the game. Houston's a team that gets a lot of respect from the wise guys, and we're seeing that. Why is this number only 3? Against an undefeated Tennessee team?
I don't know, because Titans were my pick to begin the season for this AFC South. I was not buying into Phillip Rivers. I think the Titans, like, are a reflection of Vrabel. And Vrabel or Brian Flores are either, like, probably the two good guys off the Belichick coaching tree who look like they're going to be successful head coaches. I like this Tennessee team. I think they don't win, like, blowouts, although Tuesday night was a blowout. They kind of just, like, grind you to death with Henry, although all their games with Tannehill go over seemingly, and they just kind of play tight games, and they're tough. They play physical. We saw that with the Ravens in the playoff game last year. I like Tennessee in this spot. I bet you it's going to be like a 90% ticket count, but I was on Houston last week and almost even made them an eliminator, and that, I'm just going to say it's a fortunate win. Forget the cover. Fortunate win. Like, that team is shaky, man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that at all. You're right, by the way. This is right now, this is our most lopsided ticket count. It's not our biggest decision because there's not a ton of money on the game. But if you only look at the ticket count numbers right now, most one-sided game of the week is the Titans. We're definitely going to need Houston in this game.
It is going to be interesting to see where this closes, because you're going to need the sharps to jump in. Otherwise, you're moving this to like 5 gradually, you know. It's going to keep going.
I don't think the market would let it get that high. We've seen these guys in Houston before. I think if it started to push up like that, I think you'd see sharp guys come in on the dog here.
So maybe a +4 or something like that. Interesting.
If it gets there, I think they would take it.
So we go back to a week ago and we talked. I think William Hill had some props. You can bet on whether the Giants can go 0-16 and whether the Jets would go 0-16. And we ran a graphic that FBI, not necessarily the end-all be-all, but FBI did not have the Giants favored in any game the rest of the year. I'm like, wait a minute, they host Washington. But as of last week, they would not be favored in any game. Now, fast forward a week, they looked good against the Cowboys, good stats, I would imagine, for FBI. Washington did not against the Rams. So Giants are now laying 2.5 here against your Washington football team.
We talked about it with the Bears, but the football team could be a good teaser option too. You can take it to a 6-pointer. You can get them up to 8.5, 9, low total. I'm looking for a talking point here. This game is absolutely correct. I mean, how could you watch this game if you didn't have money on it, if you weren't in a fantasy league, if you didn't have a relative playing on one of these two teams? How could you possibly sit through this garbage?
Seriously. I do not have a relative playing. I will say this. I thought the Giants win total under was a good play under 6 because of the schedule. But I thought the back half of the season, now we're not there yet, but I thought the back half would be some good opportunities to back them because they had a competent offense. Now, this is, of course, when I thought they had Saquon Barkley, but I think we saw some of that. Now, the Dallas defense makes a lot of offenses look good, but they are competent. They can score points. I don't think the Washington team is, like, very competent at all.
Did you call
him
the Washington?
I thought so, maybe Kyle Allen, but no.
No, no, Kyle Allen didn't look good at all. Actually, I would argue the only guy that looked good at the, during the Washington game last Sunday was Dwayne Haskins, because the other quarterbacks that they brought in there were just bumbling and every bit as bad as him, if not worse. So really, that game was kind of a feather in Dwayne Haskins' cap. I'm not going to sit here and advise that you bet on the football team. This game is a full pass for me, and there's not much money on it. We've taken some money to the over in this game, just a little bit of money there from we didn't even move the number, but we were at 42.5. But there's really nothing on the side in this game.
For me, it's Giants or pass, and I'm actually thinking about the Giants at 2.5 to minus 20. So we'll see about that one. Really good game in Pittsburgh. Steelers undefeated this year in first place in the AFC North, laying 3.5 to Cleveland, which is finally getting some signature wins. Like I always talk about, they're the bullies. They beat up on the Bengals. They beat up on the bad teams like the Dolphins and Jets. But they finally won a good game, now, albeit at home. But they beat, you know, one. They went off as a favorite, so it was a close spread with the Colts last week. So they're now 3-1 here. This is a big spot for Cleveland. I think it's a little much to ask for. But the Steelers, while they've been much improved and good, they haven't been great. Like, they are a little shaky when we're talking about the division title.
Yeah, and this is probably the best game of the 10 a.m. games. You mentioned Pittsburgh's undefeated. The Browns are 4-1. You've also got the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC North. So these teams really can't afford to fall too far behind Baltimore. This is a very critical game for both these teams. A lot of money in the pool already. A lot of money both ways. Right now we've got Cleveland plus 3.5, minus 120, up a little bit from minus 3. This should be really one of the more entertaining games of the week, and it'll be a good indicator of where these two teams are. I still think Pittsburgh is a little on the overrated side. I'm not quite ready to put them up there in that upper echelon of the top AFC teams, but so far they've handled their business for sure.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of Steelers games this year. I've either had money on them, like the Monday night game, or I've had big teasers on them. So they've been part of my rotation quite a bit. But I wonder, I just don't know if I trust Cleveland. Like, I want Pittsburgh to be undefeated going to play Baltimore. Like, that's what I really want. So I can drop the hammer on the Ravens. Speaking of the Ravens, I like this game a lot, laying 7.5 at Philly. Philly showed me something last week, but not a ton. They're still not very good. I think Carson Wentz is shaky at best. Look, it's an impossible position to play, so they're always going to play great every game. But you just see a distinct difference between guys like Wentz and then, like, the elite guys. The elite guys are so special. And I'm not quite ready to put Lamar Jackson in there, but that offense is elite, and that offense is special. And when they're humming, I think Philly's going to get blown out.
This will probably be our biggest decision of the morning. I would guess this. Everyone's kicking off teasers, kicking off moneyline parlays with the Baltimore Ravens. We've got them minus 7.5. Take account, very lopsided already. It's only going to get more lopsided as we get closer to Sunday. We needed the Eagles last Sunday morning. I thought the Eagles should have covered. They gave them that late touchdown you mentioned, Claypool. But it looks like we'll be in the same position this week, rooting for the Eagles as just north of a touchdown underdog.
Yeah, last time Philly was an underdog at home of at least 7 was 2005, and that was Week 17 game, which is wonky spread. So, it's been 15 years almost. I mean, that's just surprising, but the Ravens are worthy of it. And Lamar Jackson's actually great as a road favorite. So 6-0-2 ATS as a road favorite. So how can you not want to tease Baltimore? I think Cincy's rush defense is like the worst part about their defense. So I think it was going to be a lopsided game last week. But Baltimore's just like all business, man. They're just so reliable. When you're betting teasers and you're betting survivor pools, like, that's who you want. Is those kind of teams rather than the unknown. Like, the Steelers are always known for a shaky game, stubbing their toe. Didn't they lose some, like, wonky games? Like, I remember they were down, like, 20-0 to Miami last year on Monday night. Now they came back and won.
Yeah, you want the great –
know they're all business.
The Baltimore-Kansas City game really looks like an outlier right now, because outside of that game, you're right, Baltimore's ran through their opponents. And outside of that game, Kansas City's really struggled in a number of spots. We're fortunate to beat the Chargers. The Patriots game, that final score was a little misleading. They lost to the Raiders on Sunday. Really, that Monday night game looks like a real outlier right now.
Yeah, and we talk about spots all the time. You just wonder if, like, the Chiefs were kind of bored in the Raider game and things like that. And we talked about the San Francisco spot against the Chargers, right, in between those two high-profile games. But we'll see about Kansas City. I mean, maybe they add Le'Veon Bell, right? The Edwards-Helaire on the goal line hasn't been that great. And as a rookie, you know, he's limited. But that's going to be an interesting game. Cincy-Indy, the Colts coming off the loss. I kind of like the Bengals plus the points here, 7.5. Although Indy does run the ball effectively well, that's the Cincy kryptonite. But I think the Bengals have enough offense here.
See, this is one that's we have seen some sharp play on. They took 9.5 with the Bengals. We went to 8.5. Now we're at 7.5. The Colts are being tossed into a lot of money line parlays. This looks like a game where it's shaping up. What we don't want to see happen is the Colts win by a touchdown. Exactly. Because there is a lot of money on the Bengals, and there's also going to be a ton of teasers and money line parlays to the Colts. So as far as we're concerned, if the Colts are going to win this game, go ahead and blow them out. Knock out all those Cincinnati straight bets for us. Pretty good handle on this game, actually. So this is one of the 10 a.m. games. It says a lot about how weak the 10 a.m. slate is, honestly, DK.
Yeah.
Because if Bengals-Colts is getting a lot of action, the slate is garbage.
Let's discuss our first 4 o'clock game, and it's a high-profile game. This one's good. Green Bay at Tampa Bay. As Chris Berman, when I was in high school, would say, the Bay of Pigs. Because I believe they used to be in the same division, right? When we were younger, they were in the same division.
Yeah, they were in the NFC Central with the Vikings, Bears, and Lions. That was I think he used to call it the NFC North.
Norris, yeah. the hockey.
The current NFC North plus Tampa Bay, and then Tampa Bay got moved to the South when they did the realignment there. But I think this is the most interesting game of the week from the bettors' perspective. We've got an over 5-1 ticket count on Green Bay in this game. And we've actually seen the number come down. We opened the Bucs plus 2. Right now we're at pick 'em. So this is what we always look for. We talk about reverse line movement on this show. People always try to find it when it's not there. This time it's there. This is reverse line movement. Everybody's betting Green Bay, and the number's moving the other way. I don't know that going from plus 2 to pick 'em is that significant. I think those are numbers that I don't worry about too much. But this is certainly an example of reverse line movement. If you're interested in such things.
Packers, the only team that's perfect ATS, 4-0.
Green Bay has been very impressive, but I would argue that they've played a very weak schedule. I mean, obviously they have. So I don't know how good they are exactly, but certainly they've taken care of their business. I'm not criticizing them at all. But so far they just played the Vikings, the Lions, the Falcons, And a very impressive win over the Saints on Sunday Night Football.
I think I got lunch with a really sharp pro bettor on Monday, and he brought up something about the Buck. He said that he's like, yeah, the Godwin injury's big, you know, the O.J. Howard, but their defense is not the same after losing Vita Vea. And that's a good point. Like, we haven't really touched on – you don't really hear much about, you know, defensive line. I mean, you do. Like, the Bosa injury for the Niners is significant. We all know that. But they're like the running backs. We talked about it earlier in this pod, like without McCaffrey. So it's really like the key disruptors of the O-line and D-line. Like that's where the games are won and lost. And
yeah, sure.
I wonder about this Tampa team now that they've lost Vea and the other guys like Godwin and stuff.
Well, you look at a guy like Aaron Donald. If he was out for the Rams, that would have a significant impact on their team. We've seen the Eagles be significantly downgraded when Lane Johnson has missed games. He's our star offensive tackle. Of course, there are very key guys on the offensive line. They don't get the headlines the quarterbacks get, and we don't see the huge line movement like we do when a quarterback is out, but absolutely they impact the game big time, much more than a running back.
Yeah, so I respect the reverse line movement. I don't want Green Bay, but I'm not sure about this Tampa team. They looked so terrible on that Thursday night at times. But, yeah, be careful. Buyers beware on those Packers tickets as the line is moving against you. Rams at San Francisco. Well, this is certainly a interesting line change. I would imagine the Niners were minus 3 earlier in the season on the look-ahead lines. But here we are, Niners home dog, Jimmy G, not on the injury report this week. But the Niners just do not look the same. I think I'm going to have to eat my ticket of like minus $3 for them to make the playoffs.
Well, that's exactly what it was Niners minus 3. It's now Rams minus 3, minus 120. This is one of those games where we're not going to be able to write a ticket on the Niners. And it's a Sunday night game, so there's going to be a ton of action going to the Rams. They're going to bet the Rams. the people that win the afternoon games are going to reload on the Rams, put down more money on LA. No one is going to be looking to bet on San Francisco after what we saw on Sunday. They got demolished by the Miami Dolphins. They had to bench Jimmy Garoppolo at halftime. He looked terrible. I don't know if that's because he's still hurt. I'm just saying that he looked terrible because he did. I think the 49ers will be our biggest need of the week in the NFL.
So let's talk about this because you mentioned it's a Sunday night game. What do you think this number closes?
Well, you're already seeing some 3.5s on the market. I see a few offshore books have gone to 3.5, with San Francisco juiced. I think it's very likely that you'll see 3.5. I think the only way you won't see 3.5 is if a highly respected group bets the Niners before the number can get there, which does happen sometimes. You'll see that where this number would have gone to X, but a wise guy group already took it earlier and never let it get that high. And I think that's what we'll see here. If you see the number move down the other way and there's nobody hurt for LA or nobody out for LA, it means that a very respected group took the 49ers.
They might be able to get 4.
It's not impossible. A lot of it depends on what happens in the afternoon and the morning, how much parlay liability the books have to the Rams. You'll grade all your afternoon games and you can see, like, we call it the what-if scenario of what we would lose. Sometimes it's a big number, especially when it's a cheap road favorite like that. And especially when the underdog is a team that nobody's looking to bet on.
Well, let me ask you this. How good are the Rams, right? They had that kind of nail biter with the Cowboys in the opener, which is the opener, so you can't put too much stock in it. But do you realize their 4 wins have all come against the NFC East? So
yeah, you will throw the Washington game out the window. Washington is complete garbage. They really barely beat the Giants, right? I mean, that was a pretty close game. They had an impressive win over Philadelphia week 2, but you're absolutely right. Being 4-0 against the NFC East, I don't know how much that proves. I would agree with you.
Yeah, so that's my, just pushback. And they really should have beat the Bills, but it was a 1-score game regardless. So I'm not jumping on the Niners, but, I think there'll be an opportunity to fade Goff and the Rams at some point pretty soon, but maybe not this week. My next play, I thought I got confused. I thought this game was moved because the domino effect of scheduling. And I do a pick every Tuesday with Stu Gotts. And I picked the Panthers. So Stu Gotts is my Musburger. And we go head to head and we got stakes for the season. So he picked the Panthers too. I circled Miami. I wanted Miami, but then I thought the game was moved. So look, I think the Jets are a good team. I think Flores is a good coach. I think they play hard.
You think the Dolphins are. Doug, I'm sorry. You think the Dolphins are a good team. You just said, I think the Jets are a good team.
Oh, excuse me.
Usually,
excuse me.
I would let somebody just make their mistake and not point it out, but I can't let you go down like that, man. I can't let you go down saying the Jets are a good team. I can't allow it.
No, so terrible mistake. Definitely not the Jets.
I got you,
Jets,
man.
Jets are winless ATS. I like the Dolphins. I think they're going to hammer them. This is my survivor pick. I think they're a good team. I they're not a great team. They may probably not a playoff team. I think they're solid. I like them. I even said this, and this is probably a first take topic. Fitzpatrick, if he's on the Niners last year, they win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe. I think he's better than Jimmy Garoppolo, if that's what you're saying. So I would agree.
Remember at the end of the first half, he had 2 or 3 timeouts, and they ran the ball a couple times. Now they end up getting a big yardage and then threw down to Kittle. But it was just very glaring how much Shanahan does not trust Garoppolo at the time, right? I think Fitzpatrick has these crazy interceptions because he's playing on these bad teams that are trying to come back. When he's protecting a lead, he's not throwing picks. We didn't see a bunch of picks in the second half last week. He's good, man. I think he's a solid. I think this Miami team is going to hammer the Jets.
Well, most people agree with you. I can say that. We've got a pretty lopsided take account on this game. We'll need the Jets. I can't sit through this one. How many weeks in a row am I supposed to sit there and root for the Jets to cover for this sports book? It's too much to ask. It's just watching that Jets team, that ridiculous Adam Gaze, is too painful. I can't even imagine being a Jets fan and having to sit through this every week.
I do feel for the Jets fans. There's so many at ESPN because of the geography. But is Darnold or Flacco playing?
I would imagine we're probably going to get Flacco because right now Darnold's listed as doubtful. I'm not sure if they've said out yet, but we're moving forward as if it's Joe Flacco.
I just found an AP article. It is that Adam Gase did confirm yesterday that it's Flacco. I assume that. I wouldn't hammer. I think Darnold's much better. I think Flacco's terrible as a statue. So if it was Darnold, I probably wouldn't be laying nine with the Dolphins. But I think with Flacco, you have to. But Adam Gase is no longer calling plays. That's a big turn.
Well, who do they give the job to? They gave the job to like an empty chair instead of Gase. I think that'll be an upgrade. They should be fine. No, of course, Darnold is better than Flacco. I mean, we've been booking this game all along as if it was Joe Flacco. So I don't think Darnold was ever a real possibility this week.
Well, the line didn't move last week with the Cardinals. Like I said, I fired on Arizona a bunch on like a Tuesday, and it didn't move much. It moved some juice on the seven, moved, and that's it. I don't know.
It certainly should have, because Joe Flacco really has no business playing in the NFL at this point.
The go back to the 1 o'clock game, another game that had moved, Denver at New England. It looks like Cam Newton's back, and we're pushing 10 here with the Patriots.
Yeah, we've got New England minus 9.5 here. I do see some 10s out there. Cam Newton expected to return at quarterback. I believe Drew Locke is expected to be back in there for Denver this week, so... But he's listed as questionable officially, but what we're moving is if we think he is going to play for the Denver Broncos. Not a lot of action on this game yet. Maybe it's the questionable quarterback situations for both teams scaring some people off, but I would imagine this will be a decent handle game, two popular teams. And like I said, the rest of the morning slate is so bad. I got to think Denver, New England will get a decent amount of right on Sunday.
You would think. I can't get behind both teams. I think Denver obviously needs Drew Locke back, but they're so banged up in so many places. This could be a beatdown by New England, but I can't lay that many points. That's just too much for that game. Doubleheader on Monday night. It's nice. Let's go with the late game. Arizona at Dallas, obviously a significant swing in the line with the Dak Prescott injury. I'm very curious to see how Andy Dalton, the Red Rifle, looks after a week of practice with the ones. And I don't know, man, Arizona obviously played the Jets, got the wind off of Schneider, but they're not that polished. I can't back any team, especially with that Cowboys defense.
Yeah. I don't think we really know what to make of the Cardinals. You know, they beat the 49ers week one. And at the time that seemed like such an impressive win, but now it's doesn't look as good. And their other two wins are against Washington and the Jets. Well, you can throw both those wins out the door. Those wins don't mean anything. We put this game up Arizona 3 last Sunday night. It looks like we opened it a little bit too high because we had a lot of people happy to take 3 with Dallas. Dallas plus 3. Right now the Cardinals are minus 1.5. A lot of money both ways in this game. I think we'll probably need Dallas just because they are going to be the dog here, or should end up being the dog here at close. But there's going to be a lot of money on both sides of this one. Should be a very interesting game, too, because even without Dak Prescott, the NFC East is there for the taking for the Dallas Cowboys. So we'll see how Andy Dalton acquits himself, and we'll see if the Cowboys are still a playoff contender.
How's that guy looking who bet minus $4 on the Cowboys a few weeks ago to win the division?
He actually had bet minus 300. He bet 30,000 to win 10,000 on Dallas to win the division. And I kind of saw where he was coming from, because the division is just so bad. Obviously, he had no way of knowing that Dak Prescott would be hurt. But even now, with Dak Prescott out, the Cowboys are still minus 110 to win the NFC East here at the Westgate. So he's not dead yet. I'll say that much. New York and Washington are irrelevant franchises in the NFL. And Philadelphia, they're a big dog this week, and they're not exactly anything special.
Preston Johnson on the show yesterday or 2 days ago said, look, it's not me, but I know a guy who's a respected bettor who bet the Giants at 20-1 to win the division.
That's interesting. We've got the Giants right now at 25-1. We actually did write some money yesterday on the football team to win the division at 12-1. We had a few people taking bites on that for like 500, 400 bucks, nothing too significant, but it's interesting when you see somebody bet $500 on Washington to win the division. That'll catch your eye.
Well, I said last week, is it worth betting on them at 11-1? And you said what I was kind of feeling, like you would need more, like 15 or 20. But now the Dak injury, and they do have a win head-to-head with the Eagles in week one. I was more bullish on Kyle Allen, but The Giants have too big of a hole, but they might on a neutral be like just as good as the Cowboys or Eagles.
Oh, I think it's very possible. The Giants, I mean, Dallas and Phil, I mean, Dallas has the most talent in that division, but now they've lost their starting quarterback and their coach. They haven't lost their coach. It's still Mike McCarthy. So that's double negative. You know, Dallas, they're nothing special at all. And they're -110 to win this dumpster fire of a division.
Yeah, it is a dumpster fire. Now, the early game on Monday Night Football, I think you guys should be hot on the high side throughout this market. I don't see how this line – there's some fours. I would be at four right now if I were you.
Kansas City, very possible. Very possible you're going to see that number go up to four everywhere. You could be right on the money there. It's about 6-1 right now on ticket count. People are going to abandon the Bills. They started 4-0. They had a very poor performance on Tuesday against Tennessee, and now everybody's abandoning them. And people are going to be very happy to lay 3.5 points with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs coming off of a loss. So you might be right. You might be right on the money there. Wouldn't be surprised at all to see this number go up. Been some sharp money on the over. This total has gone from 55 to 57.5 at the Westgate. So sharp money to the over here, and the public is loving the Chiefs.
Well, you always say it, those short road favorites of the perceived good team, right?
They love it, man. There's no doubt about that. This is exactly the kind of spot that they look for. You're absolutely right.
Well, and it's funny you mentioned the over. You know, because of that, like, pick sixes and the fumble on the kickoff, the Bills have now gone over all four games, whereas the previous couple years under McDermott, they were like the second most frequented under team. So now the defense is a little shaky, and obviously the Josh Allen growth.
They've opened up the offense quite a bit more. They brought in some more weapons for Josh Allen, notably Stephon Diggs. Allen has elevated himself to where – I'm not saying he's a top NFL quarterback, but he's elevated himself to where he is considered a good NFL quarterback, and the Bills are opening things up quite a bit more offensively, as they should, because Allen's a good player.
Yeah, I'm just glad that we finally got rid of this, you know, the ridiculousness of, like, the MVP talk and stuff for Josh Allen. I mean, it's like, come on.
Well, he's not an MVP.
The fourth lowest odds.
Yeah. I know, but there's another level to the tiers of quarterbacks. But I do think Josh Allen's a good player with a bright future.
Definitely a bright future, and he's definitely taking a nice big step forward. I think it's going to be interesting to see when he has to face Belichick. I'm waiting for that. I mean, look what Belichick did to Mahomes, right? They really – I mean, they almost won with freaking Hoyer or whoever the hell instead him. It was just such a shocking performance for the Chiefs given what they were doing defensively. So I'm excited for that down the road when those two teams play. They get to play twice, obviously, this year. All right, man. So I think it's time for a little baby bankroll bonanza.
It's time for Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
That tune just never gets old. Just never gets old. Baby Bankroll Bonanza. Mr. Executive Director is in the win column, folks. Took the Bears. Plus 3.5. Didn't even need it. Got it outright on the field.
That was a huge win for the book, too. That ended up being one of our biggest wins of the year in the NFL. Everybody bet the Bucks. Wasn't the most well-played game of all time. Sometimes players don't know what down it is, I guess. But ultimately, it was a good result for the house. So no complaints out of me.
No complaints, Eddie. Well done. I do not have my notes in front of me in terms of what I think I took the Panthers, but I know the listeners will keep me honest. I'll get us updated next week. Remember, I talked about how I hit everything last week, so I couldn't have had a loss. But I got to get the numbers and all that. But I did take a bath the previous week and went 0-5 with, like, teasers and everything and props. And so that was I came back down to earth. So we have a narrow neck and neck fight right now. So week 6, I like a few games. Did you give Musburger the Bears last week?
You know, I haven't been able to do the show the last couple weeks. Just been in meetings. Like, I was in a meeting all day yesterday, but we would never give him the Thursday night game. I don't know what the guys did,
right.
But we would never give him the Thursday night game.
So okay. No. So why don't you step on the tee box first, especially with a nice win last Thursday?
Well, I'm going to go with one pick. Now that he's gone, Dan Quinn is gone, I'm going to go and back the Falcons. I see a 4.5 at Stations Casinos. That's a local casino, well within our rules.
Sure.
So I'll take I'll take the Falcons plus 4.5 for 550 to win 500. If I decide to add anything later in the week, I'll be sure to hit you in the DMs.
Okay, yeah, slide into my DMs for that one. What about what about the Prince of Props? You gonna do? Is he gonna make a cameo anytime soon?
Yeah, you know what? I gotta reach out to him. Actually, that's a good point. We gotta get him back going. I know he likes those Thanksgiving games. It's because he and I hang out with each other the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. That's all it is. It's like out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. But I'm sure I can text him. I can reach out to him on that.
Yeah, it's funny. I think one of our listeners was tweeting at me saying, I think he was referring to Mike Clay as the Prince of Props. He got a little confused. His wires crossed. I was like, oh, no, he's the King of Props. But Prince of Props. Yeah.
Although this guy, the Prince of Props, I mean, he's pushing 40 at this point. We might need to get him a new nickname, but okay, we'll go with Prince. the guys in our little circle of friends are pushing 40 now, you know. I mean, I'm not quite there, but it's coming.
I'm jealous. I'm on the wrong side of 40, let's put it that. I see an 8.5 for the Dolphins at a book called the Westgate Superbook. I see an
yes,
8.5. I will be putting
we got 8.5.
I will be putting 1,500 on the Dolphins at minus 8.5. I think this Jets gravy train is something special, and I like Miami. So, do you only have one play?
Yeah, I'm only going to do the one play for now, and I would never stand in someone's way that was looking to make a bet against Adam Gase and Joe Flacco. Like, if that's what you want to do with your money, I can't argue with you.
I got another one. And Joe Flacco's the common denominator here. I'm doing a teaser. 6 points, Miami, down to 2.5. And okay. I will take Flacco's former team, the Baltimore Ravens, down to 1.5.
Yeah, that looks good. I think those are going to be two of the most popular teaser options. I like Dallas also as a potential teaser option, although the total is a little higher than I normally would want it to be for a teaser, but I don't know that Dallas is going to lose that game by more than a touchdown to Arizona. That would really surprise me.
I'll do 2K on mine. In terms of the people who – so the dogs, he's threw the key numbers up to 7.5 and 8.5. Do you see many non-sharps do that, recreational bettors do that?
Well, the recreational bettors just play the favorites down. They don't really tease the dogs up as much. I mean, I'm talking in general here. But and we see the sharp guys – tease the favorites down too, but in general, the public players are more of going to the teasing the teams down than teasing them up.
Okay. All right, my friend. Good stuff as always. It's good to connect. No Thursday night game, so hopefully the shelf life of this pod will live all throughout the weekend. Not that people don't listen past the Thursday night football game, but it is nice not to have the pressure and the urgency and the clock ticking for that for our content.
Yeah, and then next Thursday, we've got a real jewel between the Giants and the Eagles to look forward to. So that should be tremendous Thursday night football. No Thursday night football this week, but honestly, I wish they had moved the game to Thursday because, man, is it good for business. And it doesn't even matter. You can take any of the games. Pull any of these games out of the Sunday morning lineup. Put them on Thursday night. No sportsbook operator in the city or the state or the country would complain.
Well, we got a Fun Belt game tonight, just like we did last night. So we have a football game every night this week.
I can live with that, but I'll be watching the Braves, the Dodgers, the NLCS when I get home tonight from work.
Hopefully those Dodgers bats have woken up. That was a nice first inning after the nice ninth inning the previous game. I think the bats have woken up. I'm now re-energized and not as down in the dumps, down 0-2. It's we got life now. We got life.
We had a guy, I'll leave you with this. We had a guy yesterday bet 100,000 flat on the Dodgers for game 3. Imagine betting $100,000 on a baseball team and they score 11 runs at the top of the first inning. That's pretty good. I don't know. I don't think I'll ever have that much fun on a sports bet.
Did he risk 100 grand? Was it run line? What do we got?
Yeah, it was a flat 100,000 at minus 190. I believe it paid like 52 and change somewhere in that neighborhood, but talk about a comfortable way to start the game for that guy.
I mean, not even a chance of rain in the dome.
No. That's was just waiting around to collect his money. Good for him.
Good for him is right. All right, buddy. Great catching up as always. Good good talking, Mr. Executive Director. We'll chat next week.
Yep. I'll talk to you next week, buddy.
Stop. Hammer time.
Thanks to Mr. Executive Director John Murray, and thanks to Brad Edwards, Matthew, and Lou for yesterday's podcast. We are certainly in the swing of things. The calendar has turned to mid-October, and we have a bunch of fun stuff coming up on Daily Wager as well. Happy all you tuning in, and feedback on Twitter and everything else is a lot of fun. So good luck this weekend. We'll see you back here next week.